We are in the month of prayer, and we're continuing in prayer in terms of the learning. But we'll stand as we read 1 John chapter 5. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 5. We'll read from verse 10 to verse 15. But let's stand, okay, as we read the Word of God together. First John chapter 5, verses 10 to 15. I'll read verse 1, and then you read verse 2. Verse 10. Then I'll read verse 10, and you read verse 11, and so on until we finish at verse 15. All right. First John chapter 5, and verse number 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. Verse 11. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Verse 13. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Verse 15.
And we know that he hears whatsoever we ask. We know that we have the petitions that we desire of him.
Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we commit this time into your hands. Father, we just want you to teach us what it means to have confidence in prayer. Lord, in thy word, you oftentimes teach us that men ought always to pray, not to faint. And Father, we see in that a desire of our Heavenly Father to hear us praying and us going to you, Lord. But Father, how sadly many times we forget that you desire to hear from us. So today, Lord, we pray as we open your word, show us your heart and teach us from your word, that we might be prayerful people. And Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Okay, last week, last week, some people wrote down names of your loved ones or whoever. If you want a copy and all that kind of thing to keep track, just let me know. Go to the website, email me. All right. As much as you put in your names, I don't want to make it public unless you give the permission. But do keep praying. Write the name that you give, written in that somewhere in your Bibles and all that, and pray specifically for that particular person. Okay, and don't give up. Don't let the devil distract you. Don't let the devil discourage you from praying. Okay, God wants to hear us. I wanted to do something actually initially, but I decided against it because generally it may come either way. But I wanted to ask this question as I start. How many of you actually here can honestly say, that when I pray, I am very confident God hears me? And I'm very confident that God will answer my prayer. Don't have to put up your hand. I want to actually put that there because it is a sad thing. Sometimes Christians are not very confident. I just wanted to lay that question. This is especially particular for younger people, younger Christians, or maybe teenage Christians as they are growing up. I remember when I was a young Christian growing up, I was saved when I was about 13 years old. And many times prayer is always, God save me from hell. Alright, it's always those, I'm praying for needs for myself. And sometimes, how many of you have this feeling before that when you pray, you find that your words hit the roof and bounce back? Huh? You don't know whether you reach God or not. But you know, sometimes we can be. But you know, as we grow as a Christian, God begins to show me, at least, that He does answer prayer. Can I say every one of you sitting here is an answer to prayer? This mission started when we had 8 people. It's an answer to prayer. The place that you're worshipping in is an answer to prayer. The van that we have is an answer to prayer. Those who were with us in the early 1 or 2 years, our van was like, teh si? A tea with evaporated milk. The engine oil was that color. That was how bad our van was. And we prayed, God, we needed a van. But I also prayed, God, we cannot afford to pay installment because our offering was like $50 a week. Because we just started. You know, God was so good. The van cost $41,800. God gave us $42,500. And it was a blessing for me to be able to tell the people, don't have to give anymore. Amen? We've got all that we needed. And of course, the car dealer was not very happy. Because why? They make money off installments. And say, God, we cannot pay installments. On top of that, we actually had a $700 discount. And we had free. God was good. God answered our prayer. The picture that you see there is God's answer to prayer, that we have a place for the next at least 30 to 50 years. That we don't have to think about moving anymore. Don't be deceived that it's not the whole place. It would be good if it's the whole place. Alright? It's just that there were two Christians who sacrificed, one of them life savings, said, Brother Johnny, we believe in the ministry here and we are going to pay for a place that will be 4 to 5 times bigger than this place for your ministry. If you see the layout, we should sit about 200 to 300 people. And that is not even our vision. Our vision is 1,000 people. And so that means that we may have to move again, but we're praying that, well, maybe someone will move beside us, then we'll buy the next thing, we'll break down the wall, and we'll keep moving. And maybe the whole floor will be our church. But we don't know. But God is answering prayer. God is answering prayer. And how many of you have God answer your prayer this week? Put out your hand. Some of you have. Some of you have. I'm sure, and many of you are a bit shy to share, but never mind, you know, I'm sure God has answered your prayer. There was this man, his name was George Mueller, I think you all know him. He was supposed to go to a place to preach. He was going from England, going over the Atlantic Ocean to the US. And he told the ship captain, I must be at this meeting at a certain time. As he was traveling, there will begin to be a storm. Last time they don't have aeroplanes and all that, so they travel by ship. After a while, there was this big storm. And the captain looked at him and said, look, I don't think you can make it in time. And what George Mueller told him was, let's go down and pray. Okay, let's go down and pray. And as George Mueller went down, it's interesting because the captain began to pray, but George Mueller actually stopped him. And George Mueller said, look, there's no need for you to pray. He said, why? I'm not too sure, but you know. So there was a little bit of doubt there. And George Mueller said, you don't need to pray because you don't believe in your prayer anyway. Number one. Number two, God has already answered my prayer. And the next moment they went up, the sky was clear. And George Mueller was at that meeting at the appointed time. Some of you may have read this story. You know, when I read that, it showed how much confidence a man of God can have. But it's interesting, you know, in the interview by a pastor, there was this pastor who sat with George Mueller and interviewed him. You know what were the possessions that George Mueller had in his room? George Mueller lived in the orphanage. He's not an orphan, but you know, he started many orphanages in England. Alright? To take care of the they call him the robber of the streets. He robbed the streets of orphans to put them in into the orphanages. One of the things, he stayed with them, and you know, he had a room. The pastor was saying, as he walked into the room, you know what George Mueller had? He had one bed, an empty table, a lamp, a chair, and his Bible. Nothing else. Nothing else. And as the pastor entered the room, he was overwhelmed by the humility of George Mueller. George Mueller told him, I'm not a spiritual giant. I am just like you. Well, that encouraged my heart. George Mueller said, I'm not a spiritual giant, I'm just like you. He said there were times that when I started praying, when at the beginning of the orphanages, I would pray for a few dollars, and I see God answering that prayer. You know, as a pastor interviewed this George Mueller, he was already in his, I think, 80s or 90s. So he was very deep into his ministry. He passed away 96 years old. He said this, at the beginning of my working for God, I would ask God for a few dollars. And I can see God answering. He said, towards the end of his life, I can ask God for millions of dollars and I know God will answer. But you know what is a qualification? George Mueller never asked 1 cent for himself. You know the Singaporean prayer, some Christians, "Oh God, I pray for touching the Toto." "I pray, Lord, for the lottery." George Mueller never asked for himself. Every cent went to the orphanage and took care. George Mueller supported Hudson Taylor in China. Okay, what a blessing it was. George Mueller supported many missionaries overseas. He sent thousands and thousands. Equivalent today would be in the billions of dollars that George Mueller received from God by prayer alone. Let me ask you a question. Do you have confidence in prayer? I want to say, based on the passage today in 1 John 5:10 to 15, God wants us to have confidence in our prayer. And what an encouragement it is. It is not spiritual giants that get their prayers answered. It is Christians who believe God. It is Christians who believe God. Do you have the type of confidence with God? I want you to notice three lessons just from 1 John 5:10 to 15. What the Bible teaches about this confidence in prayer. Number one, we look at 1 John 5:10 to 13. We can have confidence that God hears our prayer because we are His children. We can have confidence that God hears our prayer because we belong to Him. We are His children. Look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 10. "He that believeth on the Son had a witness in himself." How do we know that we are God's children? How do we know that we are God's children? The Bible says, "He that believeth on the Son of God." Now, that is what the Bible says. Okay? What does belief mean? What does belief mean? What does belief mean? Anyone? What does belief mean? Belief law? You know, some people say belief law. Singaporean probably say belief law. Belief means, it's not just being persuaded. Belief means this: it is an active faith. I believe in something enough to do something about it. Okay? I believe in something enough to do something about it. If you say you believe in Jesus but don't become a Christian, it doesn't make sense. If you believe in Uncle Roland but don't trust him, if you believe in Uncle Roland but whatever he tells you, you kind of just ignore it, it shows you don't believe him. Okay? The word belief means it's an active faith. In John chapter 1 verse 12, what does the Bible say, anyone? "For as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." How do we know we are a child of God? If we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Now, I just want to make an interesting side note. In John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus said this: "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Okay? So when we trust Christ as our personal Savior, we become a child of God, right? As a child, you are entered into the family of God. Right? Okay? Now, the reason why I want to bring up this is this. Some people believe that when you become a Christian, you are added to the church of God. That is not true. That's not what the Bible says. You trust Christ, you are added to the family or the kingdom of God, you get baptized, you join the church. Does that make sense? That is a consistent biblical pattern. I just wanted to highlight that. But how do we know we are God's children? When we believe in the name of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible is very clear. "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So number one, how do we know we are God's children? We believe in the Son of God. Number two, how do we know that we are God's children? We have the witness in ourselves. Look at 1 John 5:10, chapter 5, verse 10. "He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself." Now, what is that witness? In Romans chapter 8, verse 16. Okay, you think the verse is there, right? Romans chapter 8, verse 16. Some of you who just came, there are verses that we print out in the, just in case it gets a bit too fast, you can follow along, okay? In Romans chapter 8 and verse 16, let's read it together, okay? Romans 8, 16, the Bible says, ready, 1, 2, go. "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." Okay? So the Bible says here, God's Holy Spirit is the one who witnessed inside of us that tell us we are God's child. Okay? Can I say this? No one can tell you that you're saved. Only the Holy Spirit. Only you yourself know that you are saved. Okay? As a pastor, I can see the fruit, perhaps, maybe another Christian can see the fruit of your salvation. Okay? Paul, a few times he actually mentioned so-and-so's name, whose names are in the book of life. So Paul was very confident that this person was saved because of his life. Okay? So, no one can tell you that you're a Christian but the Holy Spirit Himself. On the reverse side, listen carefully. If we believe but have no fruit, it becomes merely an intellectual exercise. How many of you do physics right now in your course? Maths. You don't study, ah?
Just kidding.
I'm sure some of you do maths or whatever, right? How many of you, in dealing with life questions, I'm talking about life questions, you will actually apply mathematical formula? How many of you who are maybe 40 and above, how many of you still remember what you learned in history classes or maths classes or science classes when you were in school? Put up your hand. Maybe you can remember the teacher and how he wasn't very hardworking. I remember this teacher, and when we went to class and he would teach, and then he would go out, he would scratch his head like this. I'm not joking, he would crack his head like this. And then he will, remember when I asked him one question, he said, "Sir, you know, he teaches physics." So I asked, because it's O levels the most. So I asked him, "Sir, why is this so?" I wanted him to explain something. I can never forget his answer. That's nature, what? I cannot pass the exam like that. Later on it happened that I didn't trust him enough. I actually dropped that subject, combined science. Okay, but anyway, let's come back to the Bible again. But we have the witness in ourselves. If we merely believe something but don't do something about it, that's not faith. Biblical faith, genuine faith, will have evidence. Okay? Genuine faith will have evidence. Some of you really believe in cooking. Everywhere you go, you talk about cooking. Some of you believe in this. And every time you sit down with this person, he'll talk to you about spices. And he will do the job and he will cook. Do we go around sharing our faith? You know why? Because we believe here, it may not have come down here. Look, God gives us a checklist, okay? Checklist of items to know that whether we are Christian. In John chapter 20, verse 31, the Bible says, "These are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through His name." There are a few evidences. Based on this, the Bible asks us, the first evidence of whether you're a child of God, whether there's a witness in yourself, is this: have you repented from your sin? In Acts chapter 2, verse 31, what's the first thing that the Apostle Peter told the people? Remember, in a day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came, and Peter preached a fiery message. Acts chapter 2, verse 37, the men asked, "Well, men and brethren, what do we do?" And what did Peter say? Repent. Change your mind. Have we changed our mind about sin? Some of you who have already become Christians, have you put your past life, or are you struggling by God's grace to put away the things that you know to be wrong? It could be dishonesty, it could be lying, it could be gossip, it could be whatever it is in the past, it could be those things that you were doing before, it could be a laziness perhaps. Are you asking God to overcome that for you? There needs to be that repentance. And have you placed your faith 100% in Christ Jesus to save your soul? That's the first indicator. Did you come to a place in your life that you have repented your sin? Do you know why we put the baptism form, and then a person, this is something that people hate. You need to write your salvation testimony. This is important, you know why? Because there are churches today that do not require a person to give a testimony of their salvation to join the church. And is it possible that many churches are filled with unsaved church members? If you cannot show that you are saved, You see, that's why as pastor, my job is to check through, and then God uses the Holy Spirit through the church members to listen with spiritual ears and say, is this person safe or not? And then the person is added to the church. Generally, it's not a problem because after people can see, there will be evidence of salvation. Okay, you don't believe me? Read Acts chapter 26. Apostle Paul shared his testimony before King Agrippa in the 3 points that we have here. Okay, before he was saved, he was a Pharisee. What happened during salvation on the road to Damascus? And then later on, God called him to the ministry to the Gentiles. Acts chapter 26. And that's why we ask that. There was one man, his name is Jonathan Edwards. Jonathan Edwards was a 16th century preacher who believed that church membership should be for saved members only. During that time, the Anglican church was very strong. If you know the Anglican church, they will have their fathers who are members. And as long as you are born into the family, you just join the church. It's like God has grandchildren. God doesn't have grandchildren. Okay? So when Jonathan Edwards, there was actually a vote. Oh, 2,000 pastors, there was only Jonathan Edwards and someone else who said the church must be made up of saved people. He was kicked out of the church. Alright? We cannot go down there. And later on, the Anglican church became a dead church. People would just come, and then God used Jonathan Edwards in the mighty revival in England. Alright? Oh, sorry, in New England, that's in Canada. He had to move. But have you trusted Christ as your personal Savior? Have you turned away from your sin? Is there that heart to say, I will obey God 100%? Whether it's God, whether it's family, whether it's parents, whether it's the Bible, have I yearned to obey God? And number one, Acts chapter 2 verse 38 talks about repentance. And then, are you willing to follow the Lord in obedience? And notice, let's turn to Acts chapter 2 verse 38. These are a few verses that I want us to... You know, at the beginning of my ministry, I try not to be too forceful over certain things. And God chided me and told me it was wrong. But look at Acts chapter 8, chapter 2 and verse 38. What Peter demanded of those people was evidence of their faith. He said this, "Then Peter said unto them, repent, and be baptized every one of you." Now the second question, therefore, are you willing to follow the Lord in believers' baptism? You know, as I look through this, the Bible is the best commentator on itself. Can I say this? The Bible says here, repent and be baptized, every one of you. Some people will say, oh, there's only one verse. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18-20. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And then in Acts chapter 8, verse 36. What did the Ethiopian eunuch ask Philip? What doth hinder me to be baptized? In Acts chapter 16, let's turn there. Acts 16 verse 31. I'll give you a few passages so that you understand. To me, baptism is an absolutely important ordinance of the local church. In Acts 16, 31, the Bible says, and of course the Philippian jailer asked Paul and the people and Silas, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" He was so convicted by the earthquake and all that, and he knew he was going to die. By the way, in those days the jailers, if they let any of the prisoners die, they chop off your head. You are responsible. So that's why the Bible says in verse 27, "And the keeper of the prison awaking out of sleep and seeing the prisoners thus drew away, he drew his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled." It was death penalty for anyone who let any prisoner. But Paul says, "Look, don't kill yourself. We are still here." You know what care? Paul and Silas could have just run away. But you know, he cared for the jailer. And then the Philippian jailer said, "Sirs, what must I do to be a Christian?" You know what Paul says? "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." Trust Christ to save you. And of course he did so, but look at what happened. In verse 8, "And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized." He was a Philippian jailer, he wasn't a Jew. What am I trying to say? Believer's baptism is an absolutely important next step of obedience for a Christian. Can I add that to that? Can I add to that? They will gladly receive the word, were baptized, and were added to the church. The local church is still God's plan. I know many people who were hurt by churches, but you know, it's never God's will for any of His children to be out of a local church. Because that's where God's protection upon not only themselves, but also the next generation as they grow, they will begin to have the proper idea. Yes, I know there's a lot of corruption out there. You know, my encouragement to the people, the church is still in the Bible. Amen? God's church is still there. Which means that, you see, as long as we stay close to here, with humble hearts and sincerity in our spirit, God can still lead us in a proper way. And as long as we follow His word tightly, okay? Repent and be baptized, every one of you. That is a biblical pattern. You know, you go on in 1 John chapter 5, remember the first point that we can have confidence in prayer is that we must know that we are the children of God. We must know that we are the children of God. In 1 John 5 and verse 10, let me just turn. Then in verse number 10, he that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of His Son. If you do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are despising the Lord, you are calling God a liar, and you are telling God that God, your salvation is not true. You know, those of us who are sitting right here, hearing the gospel preached week after week, if we don't put our faith 100% and become a Christian to trust Christ in our life, you know what you're doing? You're calling God a liar. That's what He says. Because you are not believing the record. Remember, faith and belief is not an intellectual exercise. I'm going to share with the Chinese church in the afternoon that this book is not a book for discussion. It's a book for obedience. When God gave the commandments to Moses, He didn't call it the 10 suggestions or the 10 proposals. You do that in the companies, not with God's word. It's not up for discussion. You know what Moses? God told Moses, I want you to show them the laws and the statutes which I have written, that you might teach them, and they might obey me. They might obey me. They might obey me. And the Bible is very, if you do not trust Christ as your personal Savior, you are actually calling God a liar, and that whatever God says is not true. The question we need to ask ourselves in order to have confidence in prayer is, are we God's child? Can I say this? God does hear the prayer of an unbeliever, but He is under no obligation to answer it. Because God hears everything. He's all-knowing. But can I say this? The Bible says a wicked person, God closes his ears to his prayer. And the application of the wicked person in the book of Proverbs is someone who is not a believer. Which means that whatever you may be in your dire straits, God is under no responsibility to answer prayer of someone who is not a Christian. You know, even as a Christian, if we live in sin, God says, I will not hear you. Okay, can I just put it there? Psalm 66 and verse 18. But can I say this? Are you a child of God? Is it anything wrong to be a Christian? As far as I'm concerned, the last I checked, 30 years being a Christian, God has never failed me. Amen? God has God failed you? No, God will never fail. He doesn't fail His children. But you know what? Can I say this? If you are a child of God, you can have confidence God will hear your prayer. God will. Because you belong to Him. Whenever Esther Joy I get frightened sometimes in the middle of the night, she'll come and touch me and say, oh, what are these guys, what this shadow standing beside me, you know. And she used to do that when she was young and I was sleeping, and she would touch my head. Papa, I want my milk. See, she's smiling already. And of course, she was sleeping. She lies in the mattress just beside me, and I lay on the bed. Whenever she wants my milk, she'll walk and tap me on the head. And you know, that's my signal, okay. You know, that's his prayer request. Can I have my milk? And then it's a loving father. Well, loving father, I need to go and. Okay. Why do I respond like that? She belongs to me. In the same way, any of you have your own children, when something happens to them, you will drop everything to go to them, right? You even get urgent leave. Sorry, boss, I know you got to blow this 10 million contract, but no, my wife is in hospital or my child is there. I'm sorry, an accident. I'm sorry. You go. Why? Because there's a relationship. There's a relationship. There was one boy who was in the playground, and he just come to me and, "Uncle, can you give me 80 cents? Yeah, so I actually say, "You're going to ask your parents, oh? Uncle, can you give me 80 cents? You can ask your parents. You know? Because he's not my son. And besides, I didn't bring my money. It's a playground. I didn't bring any money. I have no obligation to answer. But you know what? If my child said, "Papa, can you give me 80 cents for a drink?" I'll tell them, "Go home and drink. It's just that."
You don't need to buy from the vending machine.
Okay? I still answer the prayer, right? Because the goal is thirst. When you buy from the vending machine, it's pleasure. Understand? That's why people don't drink water, they drink Coke.
There's that conviction going on there. Alright? And so far, okay, so I better stop there.
But the Bible is very clear. We have confidence in prayer because we have a relationship with Christ. Amen? That's why it's so important for us to be Christians. Can I say this? A non-believer, when they face the problems in life, besides their friends, they have no one else to turn to. When you are in the loneliness of your heart and you're a Christian, our Heavenly Father hears you. Amen? Abraham Lincoln was busy when he was, I think he was involved in a lot of things. I can't remember whether Abraham Lincoln or George Washington. I think it was George Washington, because he was involved in fighting in wars and all that, because he was the first president of the US. Apparently he was busy with his generals, and they were preparing. There were people who wanted to see him and said, "Sorry, I'm not going to see you because I'm busy with this thing." But you know, there was a little boy who came, and then one of his men said, "Sir, your son is here to see you." You know what he did? Stop the meeting, asked the son to come in. What's wrong? Why? Because there's a relationship. Christians, can I encourage you today? If you are a genuine child of God, in your heart, yeah, we're not perfect. We have a Heavenly Father who hears our prayer. That's point number one. We can have confidence that God hears our prayer because we are His children. Number two, look at 1 John 5:14. I skipped the few 11, 12, 13 because it basically talks about the fact. Let me read that. 11, 12, and 13. "This is the record that God has given to us, eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." Is that clear? God is very clear. If you trust Christ as your Savior, you're safe. Of course, there are other things like repentance and all that. But if you believe in Jesus 100%, not your works, not your money you give to the church, not your good works, you say, "Lord, I know I'm a sinner, only Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sin. I trust Him 100%. God says, "You have the Son, you are saved." That's what the Bible says. "He that hath the Son hath life, he that hath not the Son hath not life." In verse 13, "These things have I written," John says, "unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may be encouraged, ye may know that ye have eternal life." The Bible is a clear record. You know what I'm going to stand before God? "God, the only plea I have is your Bible say, if I believe in Jesus, I'll go to heaven. And I will open my Bible before God. God, you have to allow me to heaven because I trust Christ. I have to give my whole life to serve Him and Him alone." You know what God says? "Yeah, that's right. That's in the Word. You come in." I dare to say that because it's all in the Word. It's all in the Word. It's all in the Word. Let's move on to verse 14. Point number two, we can have confidence in prayer because we are His children. Number two, we can have confidence that God hears our prayer when we ask according to His name. Okay, that's what the Bible says. And this is a confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Okay, let me be, there are two aspects to this confidence in prayer. Number one, notice the asking. When we ask. When we ask. The word ask means to ask a favor. Or ask if you are searching for something, like for example, how many of you will go around, you ask your children, or "Have you seen my handphone?" Or worse still, "Have you seen my Bible?" How many of you scramble to find your Bible on Sunday morning? Don't answer the question. You need to know where your Bible is, unless you're using other things. Okay, but anyway, the asking, you're searching for something. That's the asking. The Bible says in the book of James chapter 4, "Ye have not because ye ask not." You don't ask. And one of the things I'm practicing with my children is, you know how children, they want something but they don't ask. They will say things like, "How I wish I can have a Coke today. Oh, that bread looks nice. with the cherries and all. Oh, my shoe has a hole. Oh, my socks is torn. And we're just next to a shoe shop. Basically, they are saying, they actually want, I think you know what I mean. Basically, they are saying, they're not ask. And so what I do with my children is, I sure like a drink now. I just keep quiet. But yeah, I like a drink too. You know why? Can I say this? In speech therapy, one of the things that we encourage children who are non-verbal, in other words, after 2 or 3 or 4 years old, they're not talking. And they're very quiet. You know what? As long as they have babbling sound, as long as there's some sound coming out, it means that the machine is running. Does that make sense? If they don't open their mouth, the machine for speech is not running. So for us as therapists, I'm working as a therapist for those who do not know, the encouragement is, whatever sound he or she makes, just encourage, you know, give sweet, whatever. As long as some, you have to start the engine. Because in speech, you need the lungs to breathe, you need the muscles here to coordinate, and you need the words to come from the brain. Does that make sense? So if those things, the child is not talking, nothing, the machinery is not moving. And so we want the child to at least verbalize, even babbling, as long as they say something, at least we know something is happening. And then we try to teach them different things, give feedback, and so that they can start moving. How many of you think that God knows what we need before we ask? Put up your hand. God already says, right, your father knows that ye need, in Matthew chapter 6. Why does God then ask us to ask? What happens if a child have everything given to him all the time? What happens? Okay, number one, he can become spoiled. He can become fat. What if the child don't do anything? But I have seen, this really gets me. I thank God for domestic helpers, they help. But there was one situation whereby I was a therapist and this child was coming in. This 4-year-old boy, the maid standing there, you know what she did? Put up his leg to take out the shoes. I told the maid, you stand aside. You take out your shoes. Why does God want us to ask? To practice prayer. Because can I say this, children, teens, one of these days your dad and mom will die and go to heaven. I'm not cursing you all. I will too. I would like my children to learn how to ask God. We need to learn to ask. And that's why for my children, when they want a drink, I just ask them, you ask her. I said, Papa, can I have? Can I just straight away give to them? Because I want them to practice asking. You know, with asking, it comes confidence and bonus. The fact that they do not ask is because they are fearful that they will not receive, right? How many times we don't ask God because we are fearful? God says, ask, and you might receive, and your joy may be full. That's our memory verse. Up to now, have you asked nothing in my name? Ask, and you might receive. You know, last week when I get you all to write the names, ask God. And you're not asking, you're asking for the soul of someone. You think God is not interested in souls? What do you think Jesus died for? He died so that souls can be saved. You know, we can pray. Some of you are having prayers answered, but we need to keep on praying. Keep on praying. Number one, we need to ask. But you know, the second part, when we ask, we need to ask according to His will. I like this part. You need to listen carefully. Asking, this means when the request that we make, the word according means this, the request that we make is within, among, part of, pertaining to, touching, concerning, covered after the manner of His will. The word according means when you are praying and asking God according to His will, you are praying, you are making a request that is within, among, part of, pertaining to, touching, concerning, covered after the manner of His will. In other words, if you ask anything that is within God's will, the Bible says He hears you. That's what the word according means. Okay? This is important in our praying. The Bible says according to His will, according to His pleasure. Now, don't misunderstand God. God doesn't do things after the whim and fancy of His pleasure. That means the word pleasure for us is, you know, how many of you are so thirsty before you drink something and you can even feel the ice lemon tea going down your throat? Huh? God doesn't dwell in that kind of pleasure. His pleasure means His will. And His will is something that is very important for us as a Christian, because he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 17. The word will here means pleasure. God doesn't decide one day and change His mind. Okay? Malachi chapter 3 verse 6, what does the Bible say? Anyone? Malachi 3 verse 6, I am the Lord, I change not. God doesn't change. What then determines God's will for us? What determines God's will for us? Let's look at two verses. Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11. What determines God's will or His will for us? Oh Christian, I hope you will see this. Jeremiah 29 verse 11. Let's read together. Jeremiah 29, 11, ready? 1, 2, begin. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. This was spoken by the King of the universe. He was talking to His people and He says, look, where were the Jews at this time? They were actually in captivity. They were in trouble. But actually God was punishing them, disciplining them for their disobedience to God. 70 years, God says, you will be under captivity 70 years because you need to pay back for your sin. But you know what God says in the midst of all this? God told Jeremiah the prophet, tell them this message, I will allow you to go into captivity. What? God the Heavenly Father allow His own children to be punished? Yes. If you are a genuine child of God, God will chastise you for sin. Just as an earthly father will not want to see the sin of a son or a daughter continue, you will have to do something to stop her, right? You will say, if she's stolen, then she has to do something about it. You have to do something about it to help her to get back into the straight and narrow way. So God had to discipline. But you know what God says? There were many false prophets who were against Jeremiah. Jeremiah almost lost his life for preaching the Bible to the Jews. Did you know that? Alright, because why? There were false prophets who say, this punishment is not from God. You know, we Jeremiah says, no, this is from God. But you know, the background of this is God says this in Jeremiah 29:11. And this determines His will for us. You know what His will? God says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. I know the thoughts that I think towards you. The word know means I've already thought through. The plan is already set. I've already seen all the variables, all the factors, all the things that will affect. God says, I know my thoughts towards you. What is the thought? The thoughts, the Bible says here, thoughts of peace, not of evil. In other words, Christian, when you pray according to God's will, how God determines His will is this. I will only want... Oh, this is so good. Get this. God says, I will only want the best for you. That's what He says. I will only think thoughts of peace to give you an... The word expected end means a future. Oh, hear from God's heart today. God says, when I plan for you, it is my best. And I want the best for you. Let's turn to Romans 8:28. I think we all know this passage. But Romans 8:28 is the equivalent. Romans 8:28. Romans 8:28, the Bible says, well, let's read together. I think we all enjoy this verse. Ready? 1, 2. Begin. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. The Bible says all things work together for good. In the context of that verse, you realize Paul is talking about trials and tribulations. Trials and tribulations, you look through the passage, beginning at verse 19, or verse 20, for the creature was made subject to vanity and all the whole, verse 22, the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain toward, until now. But you know what Paul still says? All things work together for good. But can I say this, if you go on to the next verse, what is that good? That all of us might be conformed to the image of Christ. Think about that, Christians. Get this. The trials in your life, God put it there. There is a purpose. What's that purpose? That you may become more Christ-like. In other words, God, if God deems fit to put a tragedy in your life so that you can grow in your faith to become more like Jesus, He'll put it there. That's what the Bible says here. And it's for good to them. Notice the word for good. Our God is good. There's no evil intention in God. He cannot even think of sin. Sometimes we will look at God and, God, why? And we ask God in an angry tone. You know what God does? God will wait for you to calm down first. Because He cares for us. And then sometimes He may just have to put certain things in our life to finally show us actually He knew what was best in the first place. Remember Job? Job, the Bible says, didn't charge God. But you know, Job had so many questions, didn't he? Job went to the bed, curse the day that I was born. That was what Job said. How did God answer Job? You know how did God answer? Where were you when I created the heavens and the earth? Can you answer that? Where were you when I measured the equator? We can't. You know what God is trying to say? Why are you asking these questions? God is going, I'm in charge. And get this, I love you. Jeremiah 31 verse 3, God told Israel, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Oh Christian, when you pray, you need to pray according to His will. Sometimes His will is the fiery furnace. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Sometimes parents, we teach our children, we need to be like Daniel. Right? You need to be careful. Daniel was in the lion's den. Which means you need to learn to help them prepare for the times they have to go through the lion's den overnight. Interestingly, the lions were not very hungry that night, right? But it was Daniel who said, God sent His angel. Can I say this? When you go to the trial, Jesus stays with you. Amen? Can I say this? Sometimes we always ask, God, explain to me why I'm going through this. Can I say this? When you're going through a trial, you don't need explanations. I said this before. This is a very vital truth for Christians. When you go through the trials of life, you don't need explanation. You know what you need? You need God. You need someone to hold you. Just like if Esther Joy is hurt, or you know, if someone is painful, you know what all Jeremiah did was, you know, when he had a cut and he had a bad cut, shared with you, his lips were literally torn open when he was about 3 or 4 or 5 years old. Right? About four or five years old, okay? Was literally torn. He didn't say, Papa, why that still so low? I hit my... Papa, how come all the blood come out now? He didn't say that. He just said, Papa, pray for me. You know, when you're in trial, you don't need explanations. You just need to get in touch with God. You need God to hold your hand. You need God to say, God, comfort me at this time. And that's why you need to pray. It's very important for us to understand when we pray according to God's will. When we pray according to God's will, God will put in, God will answer your prayer. Okay? And it's something, so Christian, can I encourage you to trust the Lord? Because the Heavenly Father knows what is best for you. God, the Heavenly Father, knows what's best for you. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 11, I'll just read, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him? James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. You know, we need to ask specifically and to request according to His will. How then do we know His will? How do we know God's will? How do we know God's will? Two verses for you. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3. This is an example of how you find God's will. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. Alright? The Bible says, God's will for you as Christians is to keep yourself physically pure. Alright? You will not hear this outside, Christians. God's will is for you to keep yourself physically, emotionally pure. In other words, guys, if you touch any ladies in any way, ladies, slap that person. Don't let the person touch you in any way. God prepared your body for someone, and that someone is must be God's will. Alright? Don't go play the field. Don't go give your heart everywhere. Keep your heart for the one that God will give to you at the end. This is God's will. That's why I dare to preach. Young people, keep yourself pure. Don't allow the temptations of this world to draw you away. Don't because, wow, you're so handsome, man. And then, never mind. And oh, wow, he's got muscles like rugby balls or something. And you get carried away by your eyes. The Bible says we live by faith, not by sight. And children, can I request of you? This is just an aside, okay? Speak to your parents first. If you are thinking of relationships, speak to your parents. Because your parents, I think, have a little bit more insight than you. Would you agree? Huh? They've been there, done that. They should have better advice for you. Huh? You know, you save you a lot of heartaches. A lot of our teenage culture today, they get into relationships, they break up again. You know what they're practicing? They're practicing divorce. Oh, teenagers, please, speak to your... Even young people. I've seen primary school children holding hands. It's like, what is happening? Thank God we're homeschoolers. But still, we are not exempt from that kind of problems. Because why? Biology and development of the person, they will all have their problems. You know, even for you younger... It's very interesting, even primary school children are talking about girlfriend, boyfriend. You know where they got that from? They go, parents, we need to be very, very, very clear. God's will, number one. Siggy, first, God's will, even for that person next time. And for Brother Johnny, you know my heart. You know what you need to do? Pray for that person. You know why? The person is still growing at the same time. Same age. So we pray, Lord, I pray for I'll give you this model prayer, okay, for girls. Pray that this man is a Christian. He loves God with all his heart and he's going full time. Set your standards high. And then what you pray, ladies, Lord, help me to grow that I might be able to support your ministry. Okay? For the guys, help me to be a leader. Help me to have the courage to say no when I have to. Because ultimately, you'll be a leader in the home. And there are certain things in your house that you have to say no to. Whether friends can come in, there are certain things in my family, I'll tell my child no. Not because I don't love them. In fact, because I love them. That's why I don't allow them, okay, to do that kind of things. This is an aside, but let's come back to this again. Okay, stay away from fornication. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, this in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So how do we find God's will? In the Bible. It's revealed in the Bible. There are two levels of God's will. One is the revealed will. What God has written down. Example, is God's will that every man is saved. Yes? As much as we reach them. Is God's will that every believer is baptized. Yes? That's in the Bible. Is God's will that every believer pray. Yes? It's God's will that every believer will read the Bible. Yes? It's God's will that children should obey their parents. Yes? Parents, I'm helping you. Ephesians 6 verse 1. Alright? It's true. And on the other hand, parents, you are to be a comfort and an encouragement for children. Ephesians 6 verse 4. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. These are all clearly revealed in the Bible. We have to obey that. If you will not follow the basics in the Bible, you cannot get to the specifics of your own life. That means if you do not obey God in what He already tells you, it's very hard for you to find out what God wants for you specifically in your life. I know God wants me in full time. I know. Because of certain things that have happened in life, and I've been trying to follow the Lord as we go along. It's very important. To find God's will, you must do what God tells you to do already. Point number three. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 15, we can have confidence that God hears our prayer because we are His children, because we ask according to His will. We can have confidence that God hears our prayer, point number three, and will grant our petitions. Will grant our petitions. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 15. If we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of Him. Notice the first part in 5:15. If we know, if we are confident that God hears us, now what are the principles that God we have to have that God will hear us? What are the two principles that we just talked about? Number one, you must be His children, right? Number two, you are praying according to His will, right? God says, if you know, if we know that He hears us, you know that He hears us already, right? You know what's a promise? The Bible says, yeah. We know that we have the petitions that we desire of Him. That's the confidence we can have. When you pray and say, God, I'm your child. I'm coming to you as a child of yours. But God, you know my so-and-so is not safe. Or Lord, you know, you want me to do my best for my exams. You know, I was sick the last week and I couldn't really revive. God, you need to help me because I want to do my best for you. My motivation must be for God's glory. When you pray to God, God says He'll help you. There was one particular a friend that I knew in junior college, and one day we were praying, and we was in a Christian club, and so we were praying, and this Christian girl came, and said, oh, Johnny, and there were other people there, so I'm very scared, I got exam later on, I only studied 3 chapters, and there are 14 chapters, and she was sick, okay? Then we prayed, and guess what, later on, you know, she studied only 3 chapters, all the questions came up from the first 3 chapters. God knows our limitations. Okay, some of you may have that story to tell as well. but that doesn't mean you just... by the way, you got 14 chapters, you better go and study the 14 chapters. Huh? Don't say, pastor say, you just have to study 3. Okay? Alright, you study hard, alright? Okay. In John, do you know that... We know that God hears us. I want you to listen to... God says, you will have the petitions. Some of you last week wrote down the name of your parents, your daughter. Can I say this? Even when I say this, I must ask God, Lord, help my unbelief. But I say it on the basis of what God says in His Word. If you are seriously praying for your loved ones to be saved, with all your heart, you acknowledge God, and you say, God, I'm willing to do everything is in my power to ensure that. If it means that I've got to cut out my bad attitude, if it means that I've got to get rid of my bad habit, if it means I have to quit my job, if it means I've got to change my job, if it means I've got to make more time, God, I will do it. But God just saved my soul and soul. That's acknowledgement of God. And sometimes we do have to change. I was talking to the people in Sunday Bible Hour just now. Sometimes, in order for God to answer our prayer, God needs to change us first. Because it could be that we are the hindrance. And that's why last week, for those who were here, what was the first thing that the lady prayed, Jesus, to heal the daughter that was vexed with a devil, Lord, have mercy on me. That's important. The have here in verse number 15, in 1 John 5:15, does not indicate any uncertainty. In other words, you will definitely have. In the Greek, it means you will have. Okay, that's why I can preach with such encouragement. If we know, as we certainly do, that He hears us, our petitions are not wasted breath. Okay? Now, I want to go on a little bit more in expounding this. We know that we have the petitions we desire of Him. What we really desire of God, this is important, may not be what we ask for in the first place. What we are asking God for may not be what we ask for in the first place. Well, sorry, what we really desire of God to do may not be what we're asking. Okay? Let me ask you, who really understands your hearts? God. Jeremiah 17 verse 10. I, the Lord, try the hearts. God says, I know your hearts. God knows every nook and corner of your heart. Okay? Now, when we pray, is it possible sometimes we may not know how to pray in the correct way? I know some of us will just pray and but you know what? Sometimes there are other things that we don't consider. But God understands our prayer. When we pray, get this, there is an expectation, is there not? When we pray, we're asking for something. Okay? And perhaps in our minds, God must do it this way so that we can get it. You need to follow this because this will help us to understand how God answers prayer. The Bible tells us in 1 John 5:15, when we know we're Christians and we pray according to wisdom, God says He will answer us. But the way He answers us, we have to be very clear. How we ask God may not be the way how He answers us. And He has a reason. God knows the situation better than us. Amen? And so when we ask for certain things, God may not give it according to what you ask, but God may give it to you another way. Does it make sense? It's very important for us to understand this. Because we get frustrated, we get disillusioned, because God didn't give us the way we asked for it. But you know, as a humble child of God, I say, God, you are the one who answers the prayer. I'm praying according to your will. Lord, you answer it according to your will. God will. There will be an expectation. There was this lady whose son was to go to Rome. The problem was, there was some danger that the lady knows about. And so the lady says, Lord, please help my son not to go to Rome because he's going to get into danger. And in fact, he believes that he will die there because of certain things that's going to happen there. The son went to Rome. He got saved there. You see, the real thing was the mom's heart was a protection for the child. God's heart was, no, he has to go because he has to be safe. Does that make sense? And so if anything happens to the son, he's in heaven. There was another person I know, and some of you may know this person too. After he graduated from the university, he was praying for a job. He was looking for a job at a particular organization, but for 6 months, he just couldn't get the job. Finally, after 6 months, he decided, one job is as good as another, so he wanted to do some work in the social welfare situation. He got a job in the financial market. It's like, whoa, totally different. You know, but he was still praying, and he was expecting God to still answer his prayer. But you know, practical needs came out. He had to actually work. And so he just got a job at the financial sector, and he continued to serve God. When he was there for 1.5 months, he met someone there in the financial markets, which he was able to bring to church, lead to Christ, got saved. And he was baptized, and that person whom he met at the financial markets joined the church. After that, this person, who was trying for a job for 6 months, couldn't get a job, got a job where he wanted. He resigned from the financial market, and he went to the other job, and now he has been there ever since. You know, when you look at that, for 6 months, God was waiting for the timing. And the person went into that job, so that the other person that he met will get saved. And then the job was ready for him. You see, that person was ready to go and follow where God wants him to go. You know what a wonderful picture of how through prayer and submission God works out His plan. You see, our God is in charge of us. You know the Bible says in Psalms 37 verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Can you hear that in these illustrations? You may think that this is what you want, but as you spend time with God, God actually puts other desires that is from Him into your heart. And as we pray, God doesn't answer you according to what you think. Let me read this quote. I love this. God gives us what is best for us, not necessarily what we want. But when we see it from God's perspective, we will realize that that is what we want. Delight thyself in the Lord, and He will give thee the desires of His heart, your heart. think through, because sometimes the Christian who prays but has his prayer rejected ought to think that God answers our prayer according to his infinite wisdom on behalf of his children, rather than by our limited foresight. I say again, God answers our prayer according to his infinite wisdom rather than by our limited foresight. Which one would you prefer? God's infinite wisdom or our limited foresight? God's infinite wisdom. When we pray and it is a mistake, I love this part. When we pray and it is a mistake, God in his infinite wisdom and in his infinite love buries our mistake in prayer and give us just what we should most desire could we see as he see. Did you get that? Let me just simplify it. We pray, it's a mistake. God's love and infinite wisdom is so great, he looks at us prayer and says, and then he buries our mistake in prayer and still gives us the best. That's our God. That's who God is. Perfect in love, power, and holiness. And you know God uses every part of his character. For who? Not for the angels, you know. Not for the lions in the zoo. Us. His children whom he has so preciously bought with his blood. As we close, we can have confidence in prayer. You must be a child of God. You must ask according to his will. Let me ask you, what's your prayer request today? What's your prayer request today? You know what? You need to be obedient to God. And sometimes I think, you know, as parents, we don't give our children because they're not obedient, not because we don't love them, because they're not being obedient. And you want to train that obedience in their lives. Parents, your number one priority with your children is to win their hearts. If dads, we are not around to teach them the Bible and pray with them, how in the world is our children going to grow in faith? And how in the world are your children going to see whether you pray or not, and whether your prayers are answered or not? Dads and moms, if you want children of faith, you need to set the example. And can I say with confidence in God, we can have confidence in answered prayer. You know, I'm looking forward to God answering prayer in this church. He has been. Like I say, you guys are an answer to God's prayers. But you know what? There are other things in your life that I know don't know about. But you need to pray. And can have confidence that our Father in heaven. I'll read this last verse, Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may find grace to help in times of need. Our God is always there for his children. Let's come to Christ in confidence. Let's pray. Lord, we come before your holy presence today. Based on your word, Lord, we can come freely into your presence. Because we have trusted Christ as our personal Savior. And Lord, one of the indications is that we have repented from our sins. We have trusted Christ as our Savior because he died on the cross for us. His precious blood was shed so that our sins can be cleansed and forgiven. But more than that, Lord, we are willing to follow you in believers' baptism and to be obedient to every word that you should tell us. Father, we thank you also for the encouragement that when we pray according to your will, you will hear us. And but the Bible promises that you will hear us and you will answer our prayer. Because that's you, Lord. And you say many times in thy word, men ought always to pray, not to faint. And that God, when we plead with all our hearts, you will answer. Many of us have answers to prayer in this room. Lord, I know many others are struggling in their hearts. Perhaps over situations they have no control over. Lord, perhaps over children or parents or family members, they may have difficulties. And if Father finding relief, they're trying to find out, trying to find a way out. But yet you taught us in thy word that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Oh, help us to learn to wait. And help us to understand even last week's or even this week's article in front, talking about waiting on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord comes with it the implication of expectation. Lord, we know it's going to happen, but we're just waiting on you. With our eyes closed, heads bowed, no one looking around, can I just ask this question? If you're here today and you say, Brother Johnny, I don't know whether God hears my prayer because I cannot really answer the first two questions. Am I a Christian and have I followed the Lord in obedience? You say, Brother Johnny, I pray, but you know, I just kind of generally have answers, but I can't have specific answers. And you say, Brother Johnny, pray for me that God will help me to see my need. You know, if you're not a Christian today, God has no obligation to answer your prayer. That's what the Bible says. But if you have trusted Christ, He will, because you belong to Him. Say, Brother Johnny, I don't know if I'll die right now, I'll be in heaven. Let alone pray. Can you pray for me and get someone to show me? We're not here to embarrass anyone. If you really, if that is in your heart, and say, Brother Johnny, I don't know if I die right now, I'll be in heaven. I want to know. We have brothers and sisters who love you, who will be able to share with you. Is there anyone like that? Just pull up your right hand, I'll pray for you. Is there anyone like that? Okay, if not, then I would assume that you're saved, but please don't assume that. Say, Brother Johnny, I've not been receiving answers to my prayer. Then the question is it obedience? Is it obedience? Are we surrendering to God completely? What we do and what our heart is two different things. And when I say, Brother Johnny, I know that God has spoken to me in some area of my life that I need you to pray for. Pray for me that God will change my life so that the prayers can be answered. Is there anyone like that? Just put up your right hand, I'll pray for you. Amen, I can see the hand. Anyone else? Say, Lord, have mercy on me. Amen, I see that hand too. Amen, I see that hand. Lord, have mercy on me that someone else might be blessed by my prayer. Is there anyone? Amen, I see that hand. Amen. Just, as you put it up, put it down and pray. Is there anyone else? Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time and the hands have gone up. It's just a simple time, Lord, that we indicate, Father, a response to your word. Oh Lord, thank you for the confidence we can have. But more than anything, help us, Lord. Have mercy on us. Help thou our unbelief. That, Father, we might pray with all confidence. Lord, just because it's raining outside doesn't mean the sun is not shining. We thank you the sun shines, no matter how bad the rain is. In the same way, Father, just because you are silent and things look gloomy doesn't mean, Father, you don't hear us. Oh, thank you, Lord, for this assurance. We pray, Father, that I just pray specifically right now. I believe everyone in their hearts right now do have something in their hearts they are praying for. God, would you please, based on the promise that you've given to us today, show them over the next few weeks some indications, Lord, of your moving. God, yes, we need to live by faith, but sometimes, God, we need encouragement. Father, we pray that specifically that you will give us some glimpse. Oh Lord, if it is your will to teach us to wait on you, help us to wait. But help us to wait in faith, not frustration. Help us to wait to know our God answers prayer. Oh God, thank you for what you're going to do. I pray for everyone who has put up their hands. Strengthen them, Lord. Help them to put full faith in your word. May their lives change as a result. May many people come to Christ because of them. May lives be changed because of them. Lord, please, we thank you for what you're going to do. Lord, I pray for those who have a desire to follow you in believers' baptism, that they will take a step of faith. God will thank you for what you're going to do. Lord, our hearts prayer, make ambassador of praying church. Not just the leaders, not just one or two, but all of us, a praying church. And we'll thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand as we sing this one stanza of Sweet Hour of Prayer. Just one stanza of Sweet Hour of Prayer to remind us of the need to pray. Okay, just one stanza. Sweet Hour of Prayer. This stanza one. Father, we thank you for this time. Lord, I just commit every single one, every child, every adult, every teenager, everyone who have desires in their hearts. Lord, help us to understand that thy word teach, delight thyself in the Lord, and He will give thee the desires of thine heart. Father, I pray that thy Holy Spirit will work in our midst. And that, Father, when we walk out this door into the rainy weather, that we will have a smile on our face, knowing our Heavenly Father says, have confidence in your prayer. God, we can have confidence because your word encourages us to have confidence. But God, help us also to be persevering in our prayer. Oh God, help us not to give up just because times get tough. I thank you for every man, every child, every mother, every husband, every wife, every daughter, every son, everyone that's here. Lord, we are a needy people. We need you, Lord. We need you to guide our minds, our direction. We need you to guide our every decision. Oh God, we need you. And Father, you promise in Psalm 32 verse 8, I will lead thee and guide thee with mine eye. Father, we pray, help us to learn to trust you with a new level of faith based on 1 John 5:10 to 15. Help us to ask and ask according to your will because we are your children. We have complete access. Lord, put sin out of our lives. Deliver us from sin and temptation. Lord, may there be no sin. May there be nothing, not even an attitude that is sinful in our lives, so that we can clear the way for you to answer prayer. Lord, we are looking forward to souls saved, especially our parents. We are looking forward, Lord, to the names that have been written down. God, we are begging you to do something. Lord, I don't know everyone, but you do. And we are praying today, even as a church, we have put down names, Lord. And I'm sure those people who are putting down names are praying. And Father, I pray that you will answer those prayers according to your will, in your timing, and Father, according to your promise. And Lord, we'll thank you for what you're going to do. Make us a praying church. A church that will abandon ourselves to you. May every member that joins, everyone that grows here, learn to pray. Oh Lord, still teach us to pray. Lord, give us a blessed week. And may we touch someone else's life this week. And may someone's life be better, Lord, because of us. Just as Jesus was ministering to the people, help us to be like Him. And Lord, we'll give you the praise and the glory for the outcome of whatever encounters we have. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God bless you. Have a wonderful week.